And you'll be reading for us a short story published in Malaysian Tales, retold and remixed, edited by Daphne Lee. I understand it's sold out. I checked.
Oh, okay.
Goodreads. And it's called Sue and Her Natural Love for Swimming.
Yes. Yes. The great thing about this anthology is that the idea was to update myths, to remix them, to retell them. So the story that I picked is actually from Sabah, and it's about the girl who was kidnapped by an orangutan.
And this is a true story?
It's a myth. It's a true myth. It's a true legend. So it's kind of like Rapunzel.
It's a myth. You know? Oh, sorry.
So,
you know, I Googled it and you would not believe what I found. I can't even say it. You have to Google it. Girl kidnapped by orangutan.
Oh, yes. I know. It's Rapunzel, you see. Let's say if Rapunzel is more well known, so you're put away, you're taken away, and you're locked up, right? I mean, this is all metaphorical, right? You're taken away and you're locked up, and then you're there, and then whatever happens, happens, right? But you find a way to escape. So by the same thing for her hair in Rapunzel, is the girl flatters the orangutan. Oh, your hair's so lovely. Let me have one. She fashions a rope to escape. She flatters him into giving her the means to leave, and then she escapes. But yeah, a title like "The Girl Who Was Kidnapped by an Orangutan." Hello, you know. I mean, these are cautionary tales, big time, for our darling daughters and sons. So mine is a retelling, but I didn't want it to be too dark. I wanted it to be
okay.
Funny and sensuous.
Lovely. I can't wait to hear it. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne. It's been really lovely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel so indulged somehow.
Yeah, it's fun. Why not?
It's not wanky.
Oh, it's all right. It's perfectly all right to be wanky.
As sex with someone you love.
Huh?
Golden oldie, that one.
Okay. I remember that. I think better sex with someone you don't love, la.
No, la. In the end, I get to you. As long as you get money, in sex work, you get money, it's okay, lah. Sue and Her Natural Love for Swimming by Anne Lee. Sue found a quiet public pool where she could go swimming. If she went very early in the morning or late in the afternoon, she could miss the screaming hordes. She liked being able to practice her strokes without interruption or attention. She wanted to get the difficult rhythm of the butterfly stroke, but right now she felt like a dugong doing it. She liked the familiarity of looking up every time she took a breath to see the old attendant cleaning the pool and wiping the diving boards. He cleaned even the highest. She couldn't imagine ever being brave enough to jump off it. She marveled at the young boy who had classes with a private instructor. He dived like a little angel, tucking in his wings to make a neat somersault before cutting into the water with the slightest splash. Sometimes an old couple came swimming together. They would each start at opposite ends of the pool, then slowly but steadily swim for exactly 60 minutes and then depart, holding each other's hand before the changing rooms divided them again. The clean smell of chlorine, the gentle slap of water, and the occasional echo of voices was all Sue needed to relax. She was grateful that the family's taxes helped pay for such a facility and that people took good care of it. In fact, she was grateful for all her blessings. It was just that lately, being grateful wasn't very lasting. Whatever she did, even time spent with her few but dear friends, seemed to just evaporate. She watched TV and felt helpless in the face of people constantly coping with poverty of one kind or another. She remembered the life-size, upright, inflatable toy tiger given by the Esso station years ago that the kids loved. They would face it and growl, then punch it, and it would bend backwards for a while, only to bounce back into its original position. Then the kids grew out of it. She saw how her friends made it their business to be involved in events other than their families. She enjoyed listening to their opinions and the energy it took to express them. Lately, they had become very interested in politics. They wanted to change the country. She volunteered on Wednesdays at the local old people's home. Soon, Sue's kids became used to Ma being at the pool. So long as she took her handphone, they didn't worry. Besides, they were teenagers. They had much bigger issues. Pa was teaching a lot, and once he suggested she use the pool at the college so they could have lunch together more often. But it was too far away, and anyway, she had her routine. Everyone had their own thing to think about, and that's what kept them together. One day, when Sue was still doing the front crawl, she looked up and got the shock of her life. She choked and had to stop to tread water. Instead of the old attendant, she saw a new figure spraying down the surface around the pool. Sue saw how its strong shoulders and long arms lifted the high-powered hose. The body was heavy-set and walked with bowed legs. Sue watched it bend down to set up the rope and bulb floats that divided the pool into lanes. When it finally turned round, Sue saw it was female, with the reddest hair she had ever seen. Sue tried to make herself busy, quickly adjusting the goggles on her head as she looked around to see if the old couple, anyone, was still in the pool. But she was alone. She cut short her routine and got out of the pool, making sure to choose the handrail on the side furthest away from the red-haired creature. Still, Sue saw her wave. What huge hands she had! Sue couldn't bring herself to wave back and hurried into the changing room. Later that evening at the dinner table, she told her family what had happened. Her son laughed. "So you met a redhead?" Sue hadn't thought about it like that. "She looks just like a monk." The word was at the tip of Sue's tongue, but she couldn't bring herself to finish it. It wasn't nice to call people names. Her daughter said in between mouthfuls of rendang, "That pool is dangerous." Her husband gave her a hug and told her not to listen to her children. Later, when everyone was in bed, Sue googled red to try to place the color of the attendant's hair. She had seen a ginger cat, and that definitely wasn't it. Titian? How to pronounce it? Titian? Titian? Then she found it. Vermilion. That was it. Vermilion. As she tucked herself into bed beside her husband, Sue wondered, as she sometimes did, why God made some people like that. So different. Surely it wasn't easy for them. As she switched off her bedside table lamp, that word the Chinese had for Caucasians came into her head. Fu Mao Gui, red-haired devil. The next day, Sue was supposed to go swimming. She hesitated. As she looked through her swimming costumes, she chose the black one that covered as much of her body as possible. Sue got to the pool later than usual. She took her locker key and then, as always, took her shoes off first, her jewelry off next, and her bra off last. She'd thought of going to the pool with her swimming costume already on. Although she would never say so in public, wearing a costume under clothing always made her feel a little sticky down there. So she wore a panty liner and tasked herself to remember to take it off before getting into the pool. Hygiene was important. Sue knew the school children must sometimes pee in the pool. Thank goodness for the chlorine. When she got into the pool area, nobody was around. The pool surface looked tidy. All the lane ropes were put away neatly to the side, and the diving boards looked clean and dry. She began her usual laps at her usual pace, shifting from front crawl to backstroke, then breaststroke, and then her butterfly meets dugong stroke. As she went back to her front crawl, Sue found herself looking out of the side of her goggles. But there were no further sightings of the red-haired attendant. For the next few weeks, Sue decided to swim in the afternoons, just for a change. Then she realized that others had their own timetables, like the water aerobics class. They were very athletic. They also blasted music. Sue could tolerate it at first, but when she swam underwater, she could hear the thudding of the bass and it gave her a headache. Then some primary school children came charging in and Sue got knocked on the head by a girl who simply jumped into the water, not looking left or right. Sue was so upset she scolded the girl and the attendant, who hadn't seen the incident and thought Sue was overreacting, just like all the afternoon mothers who felt they were more entitled to the pool than anyone else. So Sue returned to her usual morning session. She greeted the admin staff as usual and went to a locker. As she first removed her shoes, she heard a rustling in the back. She saw a flash of red. What was it? And before she could do anything, she found herself face to face with it. "Hi, I'm Bubbles," Sue screamed. She wanted to run away, but now she was barefoot. "Sorry to give you a shock," said Bubbles, smiling. "I don't bite." She extended her hand. It was hairy and freckled, with stubby fingers and thick knuckles. Sue stared at the hand. Then she found her manners and shook it. "I'm sorry," said Sue, clearing her throat. "It's just that you gave me a shock." I know, said Bubbles, still smiling. "I have that effect on people." Sue tried to look Bubbles in the eye, but couldn't. Her heart was beating so fast she could barely breathe. She noticed Bubbles was standing very close and was about her height. "I have an idea," said Bubbles as Sue tried to find her shoes. "How about, instead of your routine, we go for a coffee? My shift's finished, so I can leave." Sue stopped looking for her shoes. "Come on, let's go," said Bubbles. Sue couldn't bring herself to speak. Finally, she found her voice, although it sounded very thin. "I'm sorry, I have to go swimming." "Really?" asked Bubbles, picking up Sue's bag. "Come on, I'm just going to take you for a coffee." Then she added, "I'll carry you if I have to." Sue couldn't believe her ears. She felt as if she was outside her body as she watched Bubbles take her arm and walk them out. How could people just let them walk out to the car park? A few people stared, but otherwise nobody did anything. Couldn't they see something was odd? When Sue was walked past the guard, he lifted his hand to briefly wave, like a one-armed toy soldier, and fell back to his standing shuffle. "Useless fellow," thought Sue. Bubbles clicked the automatic key of her SUV and opened the door for Sue to get in. Sue stopped. "I'm sorry, but I don't want to go for coffee." "We're not going for a coffee," said Bubbles. "We're going for an adventure." Again, that wide smile. To her surprise, Sue heard herself giggle. But when she got into the car and waited while Bubbles came round to the driver's seat, she came to her senses and tried to get out. "Oh, no, you don't," said Bubbles, and activated the car's central locking. Sue tried to unlock her door in vain. I told you, I won't buy, said Bubbles. She turned the ignition on and sped the SUV out of the car park. Now Sue knew she was out of her depth. I just want to talk to you, said Bubbles. Yes, said Sue, but you can't just take someone for coffee like this, Bubbles replied. I'm not just taking someone for coffee, I'm taking you. She passed Sue a wallet of CDs. What kind of music do you like? Sue tried not to be distracted. She didn't recognize any of the CD titles. I'll choose, said Bubbles. Do you like New Age? She slipped in a CD, and soon there were waterfall and bird sounds in the car. I like this. It's called Equatoriality. I'm very uncomfortable, said Sue, glancing around the car. She noticed the tissue box cover had a surprisingly tasteful design. I'm sorry, said Bubbles. I'm doing my best. There was an awkward silence. Then Sue said, if you were a guy, you'd be in serious trouble. I could report you to the police. Bubbles didn't answer. I really want to give you a piece of my mind, said Sue, looking across at Bubbles. But I can't. Okay, said Bubbles. Wait till we get to Starbucks. Sue found the energy. Really? How dare you? Bubbles shot back. Why? What's wrong with Starbucks? Sue didn't know where to start. She looked out of the window at passing cars and didn't see the smile that had returned to Bubbles' lips. They reached Starbucks. Bubbles parked the car and unlocked it. What long arms, Sue noticed again. Oh, you noticed, smiled Bubbles. Sue was stunned she'd spoken out aloud. As they walked into the aircon cool of Coffee and Caring, Bubbles said, I like coming here. People are relaxed, doing their own thing, and there's something about the color of the walls. Sue looked around. Forest green. Bubbles walked up bow-legged to the counter. The barista looked at them both. Yes, ma'am, sir, what would you like? Sue wanted to point out the mistake, but Bubbles just said, Java chip frappuccino for me, and then added, no cream. At this point, Sue burst out laughing. What's so funny? Said Bubbles. Sue just smiled back. When they chose a table, Sue noticed how people couldn't stop staring at them. A young couple at the next table even moved away. The disdain on the girl's face was plain for all to see. So this is how you meet women? Sue asked Bubbles, feeling sympathy, but hoping nobody would think they were friends or anything. That's condescending, said Bubbles. I meet women all the time, not just in Starbucks. Again, Sue giggled, despite herself. She knew she was starting to feel comfortable. She looked at Bubbles in the eye, took a deep breath, and resolved to be honest. She told Bubbles that she'd never met anyone like her before. Bubbles said the same. How so? Asked Sue. You're really tall for a housewife, said Bubbles. And that was that. For the next few days and nights, or at least that's what it felt like, the two of them talked on and on about their lives, about their disappointments and failures, dreams and fears, the high and happy points. Sue talked about feeling like a pebble thrown into a pool and bouncing across the water, but then someone had decided to play the sequence in reverse so that all the ripples receded and the pebble had ended back inside the hand that had thrown it. Sometimes she looked through her family albums and they were like perfectly completed coloring books, all births, deaths, and marriages in them, but none of those broad, jaggedy strokes that children make when trying to color inside the lines. She loved looking at the photos though, liked to see again when her children stopped looking like babies and started to look like themselves. Bubbles was full of stories, like the one about a dragonfly that couldn't fly, a centipede that was all talk, no bite, the snail that left its shell to live in a condo, the leech that sucked so much blood it burst, the rhinoceros beetles that shopped till they dropped, the worm that made love with itself. Sue had never enjoyed herself so much. If Italians use their hands to talk a lot, Bubbles used her arms and legs. Sue watched fascinated as lithe limbs helped Bubbles spin a long yarn with twists and turns that burst like fireworks of red, orange, and yellow in the sky. Sue found that Bubbles changed shape while telling the tales, and then found herself doing so too. Sue told Bubbles that when she and her husband had gone to Bangkok, she had left occupation blank on the immigration arrival form. She wanted to put bored housewife, but stopped herself because how boring was that? Of course, it came with some risk and it could have hurt her husband. But she just wished that things could be familiar without being predictable. She asked Bubbles if that was too much to ask. Bubbles said she didn't really understand the question, but she knew some of the best words in the world were just too long, like ambiguity and anonymity. She told Sue about a movie she once saw by a guy with broad shoulders and a wasp-thin waist. In the movie, one of the characters eating lunch at a table in a garden had mentioned a word beginning with L. "It's all Greek to me," laughed Bubbles. And that it was like a vegetable nobody wanted to eat. Bubbles said it was nice to call people's names and that she had nothing against vegetables, but she'd always preferred fruits. And yes, especially bananas, because they're just so rich in potassium. What to do? Sue asked Bubbles if she could hold her hand. And Bubbles said, "Sure, if you promise not to wash your hands afterwards." Sue squirmed in her seat. Bubbles had never had such a rapt, captive audience before. Sue laughed and cried in all the right places, even though every now and then she glanced around to see if people were looking at them. Bubbles felt relieved that Sue had been so brave. Now she doubted the meeting would be their last. But if it was, no need for everlasting heartbreak. Before long, it was time for them to leave. Bubbles dropped Sue off outside her house and they promised to meet again. When Sue went into her home feeling young at heart all over again, she saw her husband and children sitting up anxiously. "Where have you been?" asked her daughter. "You SMS'd you were stuck in traffic ages ago." "Oh, don't worry," said Sue, smiling as she put her vermilion swimming bag down. "It's a jungle out there and I've had a great time. I'm going again tomorrow." My reason for writing the story: Ezra said he was publishing a series of adult folk tales. Not that adult, he said. Damn. And he offered me a list of tales to choose from. So I picked The Girl Who Was Kidnapped by an Orangutan from Sabah. I asked family and friends who might know the tale, and I asked the Sabah Museum that sent me from here to there. I'm still looking for a printed version, but it's a bit like that famous story about the people with tails who live at the bottom of Mount Kinabalu. You go searching for them, and the villagers all say, "Oh, the people with tails! They just left!" I won't find it. After all, tales are oral, so let's make it up as we go along. I remember the folk tales, fairy tales, legends, and myths of my childhood. I still have a particularly grim Grimm Brothers edition with a very scary illustration of Hansel and Gretel going off into the woods. When I grew up and went to film school, the reading list included titles like Bruno Bettelheim's The Uses of Enchantment, The Meaning and Importance of Fairy Tales. Obviously, this unraveled the magic a bit, But the book, like film school, was a great time of discovery about sexual and racial politics. With thanks to Ezra and Daphne Lee for her help as editor. And I hope people enjoy. Thanks.